Blessed is the spot, and the house, and the place, and the city, and the heart, and the mountain, and the refuge, and the cave, and the valley, and the land, and the sea, and the island, and the meadow, where mention of God hath been made, and his praise glorified. Create in me a pure heart, O my God, and renew a tranquil conscience within me, O my hope. Through the Spirit of power confirm thou me in thy cause, O my best beloved, and by the light of thy glory reveal unto me thy path, O thou, the goal of my desire. Through the power of thy transcendent might lift me up unto the heaven of thy holiness, O source of my being, and by the breezes of thy eternity gladden me, O thou who art my God. Let thine everlasting melodies breathe tranquility on me, O my companion, and let the riches of thine ancient countenance deliver me from all except thee, O my master, and let the tidings of the revelation of thine incorruptible essence bring me joy, O thou who art the most manifest of the manifest, and the most hidden of the hidden. Blessings of light, and welcome to Ecclesia, this August 3rd. The announcements that we have for this week are as usual. Tomorrow morning from 9 to 10 on KNDI Radio, we'll be having the Crystal Firelight Hour with Roy. And this weekend, we're going to be starting our new classes on Maui, one on the Kahului side and the other in Lahaina. The Kahului side will be in the morning from 9 to 12 noon, and then the Lahaina side will be from 7 to 10 p.m. If you have any friends that are on Maui, you might let them know about these classes that are starting. Let's see. In September 16th, 17th, and 18th, Astrophysics is going to be having a retreat, and the retreat is going to be at the CYO camp out in Haula, and it's going to be $50 for a single person and $90 per couple, and this price will include the meals and the lodging, and all you need to bring is your bedding and personal items. And we're going to be having probably the Sufi dancers there the first night we get there, with doing the mantras and the twirling dances, and everybody, the last time we had a retreat, really enjoyed that part. And then during the week we'll have different discourses and probably some hatha yoga and different things that will come up between now and then. We do need to have, whoever's going to be going, we need to know by the end of August so that we can let the camp know for sure how much food that we'll be needing. Let's see. I think that's about all for the announcement.
It's for a weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's for a weekend, 16th, 17th, and 18th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be getting there at 6 p.m. on a Friday and then leaving by 3 p.m. on a Sunday. So that's about all for announcements, right? Tonight's discourse is on sonship and daughtership. Reverend Harrison Roy Heskett.
Blessings of light, and thank you, Zina. When I first came out, I was ringing the bell and chanting Om and Om Garu. Om is the sound of the universe. And intoning the name of God through the Om, you draw the energies of that. The bell is to carry your energies, your prayer, upwards to the Father. Sonship and daughtership with God, realization of yourself as a son or daughter of God, is most important, but to understand how you are that, it might be well to go back to the beginning. In the beginning, everything was one. It was one all-pervading in all dimensions. It was this oneness throughout eternity. It was the night of Brahma, as the Hindus describe it. It was the night before creation, before the day of creation, as the Christians describe it. It was that period of non-being, as described in the Yoga Sutras, that before manifestation of consciousness, as we know today. In this oneness of all things that was all-pervading, it seeked expression to express itself. It had nothing to reflect upon, being it was the oneness of all things. So at this point, the One created the duality, the Mother-Father-God, the duality, the positive and negative forces, the darkness and the light. This is told to us in all religions, world religions, all great teachings of mystery schools, hidden sciences, ancient sciences. This oneness creating duality. Out of this duality came a child, consciousness. Out of the reflection between the manifested and unmanifested came the third force. And from that point of creation, man has been governed by the Trinities, the force of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the force of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the forces of the positive, negative, and neutral universes, the Blessed Trinities. This energy, consciousness, the child of the Mother, Father, God, began to descend through the various vibratory rates of creation. And in fact, in so doing, created between the manifested and non-manifested form. This conscious manifestation of reality of the Trinity, descending in vibratory rates, correlated the energies and light from a chaotic energy, from chaos, into harmonious vibrations. Down through the various planes, the separation took force. Many structures off of this great monadic light of consciousness descended on many of the planets, creating them in energy out of the great logoses and suns, which were created out of the One. We're here in darkness collecting light as light beings. This oneness in duality, creating the Trinity, brought forth great powers in the way of the archangels, or correlations of energy and light at a very high vibration, purely created to have a particular function. And as it went, this is the way creation went, with one aspect of creation having free will, all others following the laws of God, the will of God, the desire of God, the imaging of God, His creating form. In divine image, He created form simply by holding the image, and all that was needed would be magnetized to that image. The same process of creation works in you this day, for you have the same identical powers that created all things in you. For this great monadic structures of light descending, creating the forms, coming out of our sun was a great monadic structure of light descending towards the planet Earth called humanity. Here, realization in consciousness in humanity was reached, and humanity as a whole realized their beginning, their oneness with all creation, and how they had come from this duality into consciousness, into the monadic structure called humanity. Humanity descended upon this planet, prepared for them through the various forces of the great Ilions, the great archangels, and the great masters of light that were formed in the beginning, great master rays, without name or personality, neither personal nor impersonal at this point, but just a force creating, doing the will of the Father. Well, falling to the law of duality, the positive and negative was created in each one of these forces. Out of the great eight structures of light came a light that was discoordinated. It didn't want to conform to the pattern. This was a satanic force, the devil, evil forces, the darkness, whatever you wish to call it. But in the beginning, this devil, this Lucifer, this Satan, was an angel of light. And he stood there at the left hand of God, as Christ stood at the right hand of God. Two powers, one creating, ascending, and bringing the glory to God, the other descending, disassembling, and destroying, and pulling the glory away from God. Creating illusion. Man, coming upon the planet at first, had the consciousness of the whole. Man, when he first came upon the planet, experienced much out of instinctive mind, meaning the same energies that flowed through one individual was imparted to all the other individuals through this great light of humanity. Then came the teachings of individuality, which was the goal of creation, for all things to find their individuality, to find their oneness, their aloneness, their ability to be one. Just as the Father, Mother God, the oneness of all things, is one, all-pervading, and all things move and live and have their being within this oneness. Soon man, evolving upon the planet, came in the first race with its seven subdivisions upon the planet in Lemuria. Here humanity went through the various stages of consciousness till it reached its golden age after 14,000 years of experience and ascended. Then came the second race from humanity out of this monadic structure, still not individualized souls in their complete essence, not realized, just as the Lemurians weren't realized in their beginning. The Atlanteans began to experience, we call this the Atlantean race, which was a great part of this most monadic structure of humanity descending upon the planet. Now we are in the third of those energies coming out of humanity, or the Trinity, the completion of this cycle, and this is the Adrian race. Here in this race of man, you and I, and those other individuals you see about you, will transcend the powers of time and space to once again be illumined in the all-pervading oneness of all things, and to move unhindered by form through our spiritual conscious individuality through all creation. Once we realize harmony, once we come into a harmonious vibration of all other things, man, even in this day and age, after hundreds of thousands of years upon this planet, when he was supposed to be here for 14,000 years, has taken and still suffers from the duality, forgetting the third aspect of creation. Most people deal with the positive or the negative force, forgetting that there is the center way, the middle way, the straight and narrow, the neutral universe, the point of consciousness that stands between the positive and the negative energies. It's a clear substance that stands there in clarity, emanating from the black and white, or the crystal emanating. This great force was found and used by the masters. Jesus calling it the straight and narrow, Buddha calling it the middle way, and in the Theosophy teachings, they call it the neutral universe. In the teachings of Tao, they call it Tao. This great energy and light is available to every human being once they attune to it. But it takes a special attunement, just as each one of these great masters of light that have ascended this planet realized. They must free their self from pleasure and pain. They must free their self from positive and negative energies to stand the master of those energies. If you are caught in some force, how can you stand detached and objective to that force if it is driving you? This was the complexity of humanity, being driven by sense gratification and sensations and willpower, being infiltrated by the negative forces, just as Satan says, well, if everything is God, I'm God. Worship me. I'm beautiful. And he gave out his pride and his selfishness and egocentric awareness in creation until he was cast from the higher vibrations into the lower plane. Satan cannot infiltrate the soul energies without you as an individual letting that force play. By the age of reason, 7 years old, you know what is right and wrong. But out of the laxity of other people about you, you may do something thinking, well, it's okay if they did it, I can do it. Not realizing the full scope of the cosmic laws, the basic fundamental laws of creation that rule all substance. Man in his egocentric awareness fell from the glory of realization of his sonship and his daughtership with the One. By the practice of egocentric awareness, falling into sense and sensation gratification to the physical, emotional, and mental bodies. In the teachings of esoteric Buddhism, Christianity, yogas, sciences, Hinduism, and many, many, many of the other great world religions, it has always been taught of this oneness and how you, as an individual conscious manifestation, can reach the full realization of that oneness by application of a system. Most of us are practicing some system or another. That system may be a chaotic system, out of harmony, and bringing us discord and not bringing us the full feeling of the One in us, as us, touching us and all other things. In this illusion, we fall to the awareness that we are separate from all things, which is the illusion. How can you be separate if it was all one, and it is all one? God is you, as he is all things, seen and unseen, manifested, non-manifested. To condemn yourself is to condemn God, for he has created the ideal immaculate conception, and you by free will have, or ignorance, have perverted that beautiful awareness. But there's a great force around our planet that holds that image of the divine essence or the Christ light that encompasses this planet. Within the essence of that Christ light, realization of sonship can be reached. Now, this was not something that's just materialized 2,000 years ago. You must understand that 3,000 years before Christ, Melchizedek was teaching the same teachings, and the commandments of Melchizedek are identical to the commandments of Jesus Christ, just as some of the commandments of Buddha 500 years before Christ are similar to those commandments of the Christian Jews. We believe in humanity and believe that God has sent in times of change through the cycles, moving now out of that Piscean cycle into the Aquarian cycle, great beings to expand our awareness and uplift us in the realization of our sonship. Just as Jesus at the end of the age and the beginning of the Piscean age came to show us the new prototype for our expression. Soon upon this planet will be an avatoric force that will show us the way into the higher dimensions. And this force is already working, just as John in the wilderness called and told of the coming of the Christ, just as that ideal creation of sonship was taught from time immortal upon this planet by all the great masters that have come. Surely as this age manifests, so shall it be no different. For history, when studied on a worldwide humanitarian understanding of universal beingness, sees the teacher's coming. Just as Krishna came 5,000 years ago, manifesting this energy, just as late Tao, Confucius, and many great masters came time after time after time to uplift the light of this planet after it fell in darkness. Now stop and think. Most of our history tells us of a planet that was in a chaotic, fiery state that come from the sun. This is the most popular expression. Some would have you believe that everything instantly manifested. Well, if everything instantly manifested, what is stopping that very law from functioning now? Why doesn't things instantly manifest? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If everything that you thought in the last 24 hours or you felt in the last 24 hours came into instant manifestation, realize what you would have done to yourself. Have you ever said, "I wish I was dead"? Would you like instant manifestation with that type of awareness? God in His merciful provision provided that this instantaneous awareness and energy could only be applied when you reached a certain vibratory rate of consciousness, the realization of sonship or daughtership with God. This is why most people aren't going around creating instantaneous, because of the fall. If you can imagine this planet in its earlier days of light, when this planet was covered with light, and many, many books tell of this, the ancient Vandana from the Vedics tell of a planet filled with light. The atmosphere of this planet was so formed about it that the light coming from the sun was refracted all the way around the planet. We didn't have rain as we know it now, because the moisture was balanced. All the forces were balanced. Then man, descending through the various realms, in agreement, in council, the great forces of the elemental kingdoms swore allegiance to man's evolution, for they had evolved for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, eons of time. And now they willingly became a subservient force to man. Man then began to misuse this power. He began to use this power for his own selfish awareness, with no concern of what would be the effect upon his brothers and sisters. This great force, this great light that man drew upon, caused his downfall. Great forces that had been trained upon other planets saw the glory that man had accomplished in his first three root races upon this planet in their forms. And then came those from other planets that wanted to experience this planet. Now, understand, when I say this, it doesn't mean there was little green people, little purple people, and there were different forms of people coming to this planet. There wasn't no globs, there was no strange-looking things. To function upon this planet, you must have a vehicle that's adaptable to the system upon this planet within its elemental forces. And your body is such a thing. But you are not that body. You are not the emotions, and you're not the mind. And this has been the training in mystery schools and in esoteric teachings through Christianity and Buddhism and many of the other world religions for thousands of years upon the planet. You're not the body, you're not the emotions, and you're not the mind. So these great beings that came from these other planets came in a spirit form just as you came in spirit form. Just as you came in your formless body out of the monadic structure of light. Now, 3,000 years before Christ, Melchizedek, teaching the teachings upon the planet of the one God, the one reality that was all things, in all things, as all things, seen and unseen, manifested and non-manifested, everything that is, was, and always will be. As he brought these teachings to man, he one day said, I am. At this point in creation, man evolved to have his own individual essence transcending on the wheel of evolution to his individuality and forming of the soul. The individual soul, meaning an individual conscious manifestation out of humanity, could experience over and over again and have consciousness of past experience, could have relationship to its stream of life. From that point on, the power of I Am has manifested to become one of the greatest forces upon the planet, and had always been the greatest force, but was only realized at this point. Realize this. When you left the great center sun, when you left the oneness of all things, you were in full conscious of that oneness of all things. As God sent part of himself forward, he had the realization of himself. But through experience and separation from the oneness, through vibrations and planes of beingness, man began to get further and further from the realization of this energy by the accumulation of experience through evolution. First involuting to the lowest point of consciousness, involuting to an unaware individual beingness. Understand that. Man was unaware of God. It was a part of God, but had been so conditioned that it was unaware of God in its outer manifestation, but within it, it always holds the seed of reality beyond time and space. Within you and through meditation, you can reach this same vibrational awareness which will give you the realization of your oneness with God, or your realization as a son of God. How does a mother and a father have a child? They combine substance that grows and multiplies. The miracle of birth in 9 months, the multiplication of the cells, and isn't it interesting that at about 6 weeks along, the killer whale, the chicken, the monkey and the man are the same. Isn't that something? But what tells those forces how to create that etheric individualization of the consciousness of the spirit of that particular species? As humanity within the cellular structure of your beingness, whether that be physical, emotional, or mental, and some people say, well, cells of the mind. Think about that. Impulsing vibrations. We're all caught up in form. Well, a cell is a little tiny thing right here. Well, it's just like the body. When people say body, they think of two legs, two arms, a head, and a torso. But what about a body of water? Does it have two legs, two arms, a head, and a torso? Does a body of land have a head, two legs, and arms? And a torso? Does a body of air have that? Well, the body of God is made in a formless vibration, which is seemingly uncomprehendable to an individual when they are caught in form until they realize their spirit essence or their sonship or daughtership with God. Once this point of consciousness is reached in the individual and it's realized in each individual, it can't be given to you and it can't be taken from you. No one can show you it and no one can hide it from you. No one can cut it or burn it or destroy it, and no one can create it or form it, for it is in the realm of being. And the realm of being is a transcendental field of consciousness beyond time and space. To move away from this for a moment, let's relate what's going on today. There's much literature being channeled upon the planet, and has been for many, many, many thousands of years, but it seems to be new to a lot of people. States after death. Realizing what happens after death. There was a woman interviewed that was dead for 15 minutes. Clinically, wasn't breathing, there was no life force, no heartbeat, no brain movement, there was no sign of life in this body for 15 minutes. And when the light came back in, when she came back in, when she was at the point that she could convey what she experienced, they asked her, "What did you experience?" And she says, "Well, first of all, everything seemed to get dark. And then I noticed that there was some beings. It seemed to be stuck, that I kept moving." And she says, "Soon I had the awareness that there was beings, not with arms and legs and eyes and nose and mouth, but there was beings there." She had this awareness. Then she had the awareness of moving through fields of color into a golden light. Interesting. And then a voice coming out of a pure white light, and a being standing in this white light told her it was not her time and to go back. Which she immediately found herself entering back into her body. Now, if anyone is studying astrophysics with us, you'll understand what that little thing is that this woman described. In the Tibetan Book of the Dead, they describe the states after leaving the body. 3.5 days of breaking body awareness. It takes 3.5 days to pull conscious awareness from the physical dimension. Another 49 days to transcend through the emotional planes and the mental planes to withdraw your energy back into your individual soul. She also noticed one other thing. She noticed as she was moving into this golden light that someone said, "What have you done with your life?" And at that moment she saw all of her life pass before her eyes. Another man having this experience, when he came back in his body, was so mortified, so humiliated by the terrible things that he had done, he immediately made a transition into a higher dimension and became very spiritual and very religiously orientated. And he was dead for some 25 minutes. Interesting. What is death? Transition. He talked of a sound that he heard as he was moving through this energy. Like the sounding of some drums. Well, in the Voice of the Silence, written by Madame Blavatsky, that wrote the Secret Doctrine, it describes the various planes of sound that one moves through as they reach the higher states of consciousness. I realized after reading this article, I die every night. I die every time I do my meditation. Interesting. Because the very bridge that the masters have taught, the rainbow bridge, the Antakarana, which is in all teachings, and the Catholics have all this information in the Vatican, they even use that power as initiations into different states for the priesthood by the robes they wear. They used to have rooms that you would go in and go through various initiations through the various colored rooms. Rainbow Bridge, or the Antakarana, is not new. It's been taught for thousands of years. It goes back, and the word comes from Sanskrit. In the yoga sciences, we find it in the Nordic teachings, we find it in the teachings of the North American Indians, we find it in the teachings of the ancient Hawaiians, we find it in the teachings of the Egyptians. Reading the Egyptian Book of the Dead, or the Tibetan Book of the Dead, will give you the realization of the Antakarana, this rainbow bridge. To transcend the attention that is stuck in the physical, emotional, and mental bodies is the goal of meditation, and the goal of meditation is divine union, or becoming one with one. One with the one, or realizing your sonship or your daughtership. And I always say son and daughtership, or realizing your self as a child of God. I say daughtership because I don't want to let the women out. Most religions talk of the masculine wave, and I was taught that there was a mother-father God, and we were the child of that mother-father God. I was taught that the power is, and I remember the first time going to a evangelical United Brethren Church, old EUB, and was sitting there about 6 years old in the Bible class on Sunday, and being told that I was going to be taught about right and wrong, and I knew there was no right or wrong, and I voiced this. I knew there was just the use of the power. The power worked for those laggards that came from the other system on this planet, just as it worked for the humans that were here. They, being evolved into the psychic powers, began to command the forces of man's mind. For man was a child at this point in creation, in physical, emotional consciousness, and was only advanced in the teachings by the priest or great beings that had studied into the higher forces and began to use mind force. In Atlantis, they used to come to the temples of light to be attuned to their vibratory energies, or to be saturated with light. Even nowadays, we see light healing upon the planet and color healing. And there's places that you can go where this is practiced and studied, just as we practice and study it through astrophysics. It's an ancient science. It's a key, an impersonal key to the power, which all masters learn. Many people are disobeying the first commandment of Mosaic law. Moses bringing down the commandments, just as many other beings before him realized this, and after him reiterating the same through their language, through their associations, but the same basic energy, said the first commandment was, "You shall have no other God before me." How many people nowadays are worshiping a man, a statue, a book, a way of life? They worship this, not realizing they're actually denying themselves, through ignorance, the realization of their son and daughtership by limitation. God is all-pervading. He's omnipotent. He's omniscience. He's omnipresent. He's here right now. Right now, touching every individual. He's in all things, and he has a system to that, a pattern, the laws of God, or the cosmic laws. Each one of these great masters were well-versed in those great laws of energy. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. A very simple golden rule. And why did they call that the golden rule? Why did they call it the silver rule or the diamond rule? or the orange rule, or the yellow rule. They call it the golden rule because this is a universal state of mind, the golden light energies. And to pull the golden light of universality, or the ability to tap universal mind, you must realize that you get what you give. That mind force will only act upon the images you give it. Through your feelings, through your thinking, through your attitudes, you correlate this great force of energy through you. So the golden rule is to move you to the golden energies. Do unto others that you have them do unto you. Love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. And understand in those days what the self meant. The self is not the ego personality of outer awareness. The self was the divine realization of God consciousness, the child of God, the son of God. The self in the individual, as Buddha taught it, as Jesus taught it, as the masters taught it, is that great force of light that is eternal, that is always one with the Father, the son or daughter of God, or the child of God. In this oneness and realization of it, the self, this great self then comes through the personality. But many, through the ignorance of the fathers, through the ignorance of separation, through disobedience and lack of attunement, they lost the powers of their self. And what did this to them? Here's a beautiful child, open. Just think of a child. A child is close to God. When they're born, they are God. They're in that consciousness of God realization. And as they come into this dimension, they focus into this dimension. A child takes time to focus into this dimension. 6 days before they actually can see the light of this dimension. And I see so many children of God impatient to open their spiritual eyes that they don't even concentrate on that energy. They think instantaneously, my eyes will pop open, I will see everything all at once. They don't realize that nature isn't like that. That isn't the laws of nature. That is not the laws of the cosmos. I've never walked out of my garden in the morning and seen flowers pop up out of nowhere. I've never seen a child go from age 0 to 20, boom, like that. There is an unfolding of consciousness in an orderly form. And the same when you realize your sonship and your daughtership with God, you realize it through an unfolding within yourself of the realization that you're one with the One, that you are a child of God, that you live and move and have your being in this oneness, and you have the ability to be one with the One in His omnipresence. Saint Germain, channeling through Godfrey Ray King in the 30s, called this the magic presence. Before that, even at the time of Moses, it was called the I Am. When Moses went up on the mountain and was told by God, he says, go bring my children home. Go bring my children to the promised land. He says, well, who do I say sent me? And he says, say I am sent you. Even Jesus says, I am before time and space. Realizing that time and space is an illusion created to hold you here on this planet. What is 24 hours a day on Mars? What is 24 hours a day on the moon? What is 24 hours a day when you're 24,000 miles from the Earth? What is 24 hours a day but something that tells us that there's so much light and there's so much dark time on the planet? And we cut it up into 24 segments. And we cut those 24 segments into 60 segments, and we cut those 60 into 60, and we cut those and cut those and cut those, and see how it works? And we multiply it on the other end We add up those hours and they make days, and those days make weeks, and those weeks make months, those months make years. And what difference does it make? This was man's systematic use of mind so that he would be able to accomplish cycle. You must create cycle to accomplish cycle. You must have a cycle in your life to magnetize the cycle. You must do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See that golden rule? It's a law. It's a universal law. It doesn't only apply to what you're doing to some other individual. It applies if you want prosperity in your life. You act prosperous and you do prosperous things, and prosperity will flow to you. If you act healthy and do healthy things, health will come to you. See, the law was put in a personal way because most people were egocentric. Understand it. They were thinking about themselves. They might protect their brother and their mother and their father. They might. But history has shown that many times they betrayed each other. Husband betraying wife, wife betraying husband, daughter betraying mother, betraying husband or father. Sons and disobeying their parents, maligning them, selling their sisters into slavery, killing their brothers for glory and power. Man has perverted his unity and his oneness. He has created fear within himself of himself. And many people are afraid of themselves because that is an instinctive vibration, and when you get caught in the lower energies, that comes into consciousness. But when you transcend and realize yourself as a son or daughter of God, you're no longer bound by time or space. You're no longer caught in the rut. I remember one time I was working away and I realized I'd been doing this for about 4 years. I'd been doing the same thing. Eat, sleep, work. Eat, sleep, work. Eat, sleep, work. Eat, sleep, work. When the vacation time had come, if you worked, you got your vacation money plus the money you worked. So I would work, and so it was eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work. Vacation time had come, and still eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work. I did that for 4 years, and I realized, wait a minute, what's happening here? Man is not made to be a monolistic vibration. He's made for unity. He's made to realize the oneness. Who can seek this son or daughtership? Gee, the inferhuman species can't seek it. The flowers can't consciously realize it. The birds and the trees can realize it. The animals can realize it. The rocks can realize it. This is the goal. This is the privilege of man and man alone upon this planet to realize this sonship and daughtership. This body is the end evolution of all of those elemental forces in their combination as unity. Your body contains water. It contains earth, it contains air, and it contains fire. Ah, understand that. Did you ever hear of calories? That's a fire in your body that burns away substance. Fire. You also have the fifth element, ethers, or the etheric form. And within this etheric form, it holds the image of what your physical body will look like, because it is part of that physical body. In the ancient sciences of the Essenes, of the Magi, they used to create these doubles by separating from the physical body that etheric body. And did you know before man became a physical being in his evolutionary cycle, he was etheric before he was physical. And you know what brought him into physical awareness? He did rituals to become physical. He did rituals of eating meat. He did rituals of consuming the substance of the physical dimension. Was this a three-dimensional period? Look at the ancient art. even in our own 14th century, during the Renaissance, 14th and 15th, look at the paintings. Many of them have that flat, two-dimensional expression. Before that, man had a one-dimensional consciousness. Now he has a three-dimensional consciousness, and he's moving now in vibrations to a fourth-dimensional consciousness. He's learning in and out. He's learning how to go in and out of his body, in and out of his emotions, in and out of his mind. He's learning how to go in and out of his creative powers, in and out of his knowledge. He's learning the power of in and out. He's learning that fourth dimension. And some are exercising it. Uri Geller, there in going to the university, used to play this little game with a box. He knew if he held an image in his mind, if he put something in the box, a spoon or something, anything, a pencil, a pen, if he held the image and it was not there, people opening that box, it was not there. It was not there. Where did it go? It went in and out of the time-space cycle. Because image and your image of yourself creates you. Now stop and think. Every moment, you are relating to an image of yourself in some way, whether consciously or subconsciously. You have a picture of yourself, the way you think you are. This image doesn't always correspond to what you think you are. This image doesn't always correspond to what you think you are. And this is when we run into the frustrations. This is when we run into the illusion and the separation. Here we are coming from this one force that says, here I give you free will to create. We'll start you at nothing and you can become everything. But what kind of system would it be if there was nothing to test you along the way? The devil agreed to be the devil. Christ agreed to be Christ. The angels agreed to be the angels. Everything is done by agreement. And you as a free will being, by agreement with whatever you are doing now, is what you are getting. By agreement, by that law of identification. If you identify yourself and say, I am a child of light, I am a son or daughter of God, soon, within your consciousness, that realization will manifest once those things that says that you are not is overcome. Here comes another great law in the universe, the law of identity. But even another law, the greater controls the lesser. I remember one time, it was in 1968, I was laying on my bed back in the corner of my room, and I had this little mobile that had feet on it. And I had some feet pasted on the ceiling. Remember those little black feet? Well, I had those little black feet pasted all the way across the ceiling. I was looking at that and I was saying, the greater minds control the lesser minds. The greater emotions control the lesser emotions. The strongest control the weakest. The greater controls the lesser. I realized a cosmic law and didn't realize it was a cosmic law at that time. And it wasn't until 1975 that I realized something that I realized in 68. What I mean by realized and realized? By degree we realize and unfold. You may just be able to hold the awareness of being a son or daughter of God for 1 minute in meditation. Maybe only 30 seconds, only 1 second maybe. The next time it may be 2 seconds or 2 minutes. The next time 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, on to infinity until you realize your eternal self. The self that is eternal, not the body, which by all appearances we know does not last. There's one guarantee in absolute, it's in this room right this moment, it's touching every one of you, and that's the realization that someday you're going to leave this dimension. Someday you're going to leave this body. That's a fact. Are you ready right now? Have you realized that you're the child of God right now? If you realized that, there would be no fear of going. You would know that the tomb is the womb of the spirit. I remember the first time I heard that. Scared the tar out of me. This guru said that to me, and I stopped, stunned. The tomb is a womb. What's this guy talking about? Then I almost felt like, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, wasn't it, when he said, "How can I crawl back into my mother's womb to be reborn?" he said to Jesus. The birth that takes place in consciousness is a field of correlated vibrations. Your spectrum, your rainbow, your antakarana, your vibrations. And each individual has his vibrations. They carry their rainbow around with them. Every place they go, they got their rainbow all around them here. They call it the aura, and now they're taking pictures of it. Brilliant photography. Been for thousands of years, the mystics, the priests, the lamas, the great spiritual teachers taught about the rainbow and about the aura and about how to see it, how to perceive it. It's what you pay attention to is where you're going to get your reward. Wherever your attention is going, that's where it's going to come back from. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Wherever you're going to send that energy, that's where it's going to come back from. Understand it. Wherever you send it out, that's where it's going to come back. If you get anger, did you ever notice there's two men fighting over here? There's a couple other guys standing. Gee, I think I should go break that up. And the guy starts walking over there, and before he gets there, he's just as mad as the rest of them. What causes that? These two men holding anger in their aura. And his aura coming into conjunction with their aura. How many times you really felt good and come up and said something to somebody and they're really in a down, next thing you know, you're down. By the law of identification, you're identifying with where they're at. How many times you lost it by not controlling the law of identification? How many times you let some friend, hey, you know, let's do this. Oh, nobody will know. Nobody will know? What about the omnipresence? It's always touching everything. Delusion and illusion of mind separates the individual from realization of his son or daughtership of God. That child of God in you. When you come to this realization fully, in the deepest states of consciousness, and you began to relate to it, identify with it, the energies come forth. Many people don't demonstrate the Christ consciousness within them because there are a lot of people say, there's only one Christ and his name was Jesus. There's a lot of people that don't exercise the Buddhic force because there was only one Buddha. But see, they can't say that about Buddha, can they? Because there wasn't just one Buddha, was there? There was many reached the Buddhic force and was called Buddha. That Christ being the white light, Buddha being the golden light energies. When you become one with that force, you will begin acting and demonstrating those qualities of the Godhead, the God consciousness, from your Christ light. The realization of all of those great powers. And now, instead of having the forces of nature always stopping you from progressing, now instead of having the forces of emotions and mind and feelings and knowledge stopping you, you become one with those forces and they back you. You're no longer deluding yourself that you're not here. You know, a lot of people don't think they're here. I mean, they're walking around, they don't think they're here. You know where they think? They think they're in the past. They think they're what they did yesterday, and they are that because they keep thinking of that, and they bring that into their here and now, and then they say, no, they're not that, but they're that. Well, gee, what a contradiction, what a paradox the mind gets into. Then the person gets frustrated. Well, I don't know what's wrong. I just don't know which way to go. I don't know whether to go up or down. Well, there's only one way for those that are seeking son or daughtership, and that's up. There's only one way, and that's up. It's not down into illusion and delusion. It's not separation. It's not limitation. It's up. Unity. It's infinite. It's all abundant. It's everything. I remember one time I walked up to my grandmother. I was about 7 years old, and she was on the porch, and she used to sit on this rocker. Boy, the rocker get going there pretty soon, it stop. Grandma stop. We watch her and watch her. Oh, Grandma's sleeping. So I went over one day and I says, Grandma, how come you sleep so much? She says, I'm not sleeping. I says, I saw you weren't moving. She says, I was practicing being everywhere. Practicing being everywhere? Well, how do you do that? I says, do you know where Aunt Kitts is? That was my aunt. She says, yeah, she's talking to your cousin in the kitchen. I run in the kitchen, and sure enough, there she was. I says, well, where's my brother? He's down behind the barn, and you better tell him to get away from the well, because he's not supposed to be playing there. Down behind the barn, I says, get away from the well! How'd you know that? Grandma told me. No, she's up on the porch. Grandma practiced being everywhere. Interesting. That was at age 4. At age 7. Now realize, that's age 7, and it wasn't until I was 35 years...